Preaching the truth. Brother Mike, please.
That answered my question about whether or not I had a screensaver on there. So no, we won't be discussing my office's mission statement this evening. We will be looking at the topic of our role as disciples of Christ and preaching the truth. And I must say, and I think most of us are made of the same metal when it comes to deciding when to stand out in a crowd and when to make statements. When I took on the role of the campaign committee about 6 months ago, I mean, there's a number of things that we had on our plans to do, and we realized that this is an ecclesial effort, and so some of the things we discussed this evening revolve around what we can do as brothers and sisters to support one another in our efforts to preach the word to this sick and dying world, really. They don't know that they're sick and dying, and that's the problem. And the verse that we have up on the screen here is one, when I first became involved in the truth, I remember it was one that we used as an ecclesia a little bit more, where we reflected on the fact and the prophecy that it isn't going to be until the word of God has been preached to all the inhabited earth that our Lord Jesus Christ will return. And so, brothers and sisters, we want this evening to try and reflect upon these things, to consider them, and to see what kinds of things we can do to support one another in our efforts. So, essentially, we've got three things that I'd like to discuss this evening. First of all, I wanted us to just consider what our role and God's purpose is in meeting together as an ecclesia. What is God's purpose for us as a body? Why doesn't he have a group of individuals? Why does he decide to call us together? As a body of believers? So that's one of the things we want to just reflect on a little bit this evening. Secondly, we want to look at what the Word of God tells us that we must be doing in our lives. What is the fruit that we should be producing as we compare our lives to the Word of God and to see what the believers were producing in their lives? We want to just consider what the Word of God tells us. And thirdly, we want to consider how we could, the word position ourselves might not be the right word. Okay, but market ourselves definitely wasn't the right word either. What I'm getting at here is, we know there's a range of means of getting to people, getting the message to people. There's a range of messages that people get from organized religions. We think immediately of the practices of the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. And we kind of stand back and we look at how people respond to witnesses coming to their door, and we say, maybe we don't want to do that. We feel a little uncomfortable maybe in what we do. But then we have other extremes where we don't really see a lot of activities. And so I want to just have us consider, partly as we develop our campaign efforts, where should we position ourselves? So forgive me for that word, but that's what I was meaning by putting that down. So if we start off considering the purpose of God's ecclesia, and we were reminded in 1 Timothy that the household of God, which is the ecclesia of the living God, that's us, brothers and sisters. One of the main purposes we know of for our meeting together as Christ's disciples is to strengthen the body. So I think that would be the first thing that would probably come to our minds when we say, why do we meet together in fellowship? And we see example after example in Scripture where we are there to strengthen one another. And if we just look up those two passages I've got there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, first of all, we want to strengthen ourselves as individual members. And as we strengthen ourselves as individual members, if all of our individual members are strengthened, then we're able to encourage and strengthen each other as a body. So 1 Timothy 4, if you just turn briefly there with me, and verse 13, it says, until I come, give attention to the reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. So, again, there's a passage which reminds us that until our Lord returns, well, in this case, it wasn't until the Lord returns, but we are to, in our lives, to give attention to the things of the truth, to pay attention to our readings and to build up ourselves as individual members of a ecclesial body. And then if we look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just back on 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. So again, just a small verse which indicates to us our role as strengthening the body. And we know that in order to strengthen ourselves as individuals and to strengthen one another, all of these things must be maintained and increased through constant prayer, through teaching, and through fellowship together. And you may come back to the reading that we did this evening in Philippians, because Paul in that particular reading spoke of his strong desire to remain with them. In fact, he uses the phrase to remain in the body. He had a desire to remain in the body to support and to strengthen them. So that's one of the purposes of meeting together. And now secondly, the second purpose, and this one, maybe we can have some discussion about this, but I think I've used the phrase to grow the body. And so the first one was strengthen the body, and the second one is to grow the body. So we have healthy members, our body is healthy because we're supporting those who have needs, and now we're to look outside and to help bring others into the fold. We have a few passages there that we won't consider all of these passages this evening, but they're there for you if you'd like to consider them. We know that how will this world hear the message of God's kingdom without a preacher, without people to preach it accurately to them? And that is the role of every single one of us here to get that word, that message out in various ways, in ways that we are comfortable with, and sometimes in ways that we may not be comfortable with. And the other bullet I have there is the quote from Colossians. It's because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, where have you heard of before in the word of truth, the gospel. So in that particular section, the Apostle Paul is thankful for that ecclesia and for the work that they're doing to continue to strive for the things of the kingdom. And that's an ecclesia that was formed out of preaching. And so we see the importance to Paul of growing the body. And so it's this particular piece that we want to consider this evening. And I started, our discussion a little bit with the fact that sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable. But even as I was reading some of the headlines today as I was at work, and some of the most recent headline in all the papers talks about the breakdown of the families. And the fact that we now in Canada have, I think we have more people who are not married than are married for the first time in our country's history. And that's because of the growth of common law marriages and other kinds of marriages that we know that God detests. And there's all kinds of different combinations of families. And people are talking about this at work, and constantly we go through, you may go through this as well, but at what point do we say something on behalf of God? When do we speak forth these things? What is the right opportunity to have God's voice heard in these discussions? Because almost inevitably there's no mention of God in any of those kinds of discussions that take place. And so this world has need of direction, and it's only the direction that we can offer to them. So I just wanted to pause for a moment and we consider what the ecclesia is. And I just wanted to briefly comment on what the ecclesia is not. And sometimes I think we can fall into habits when we come because we, and that word social club, as I put it up there and I look at it, it might seem a bit of a harsh word really to us. But really a social club is a gathering of place of people who have similar interests. Right, and as brothers and sisters, we have a stronger foundation than that, but we do come, and there is a social element associated with our meeting together, and we all know that, and we all understand that, but that's not our primary purpose, brothers and sisters. Our primary purpose is not to meet together just on a social basis, and we know that the what happened in Corinthians when. And we don't read this particular part of the passage every week, but we know that the brothers and sisters were coming together and they were getting drunk and they weren't caring for the needs of one another. They were just making it a social get together. And so we put up the fact that the ecclesia is not a social club. It's not a place to exalt oneself above others. And whilst, we sometimes in our lives, we have opportunities to show our knowledge or to show forth the things that we can do. The ecclesia is a place to serve others and to take care of others' needs. And finally, the ecclesia is not a place to garner support for a position causing division. And again, that the quotes in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, and there's other quotes obviously as well we could bring to bear, but those are just some of the things to consider that an ecclesia is not for us to consider and to be aware of. So as we delve into the idea of preaching the truth, we preach really for three significant reasons. These aren't all the reasons, but I think these are the three significant reasons why we preach. First of all, God desires his word to be known, to be made known throughout this world. We had that quote in the beginning of our talk, and we know throughout Scripture that it is his desire that his creation knows him. And secondly, the disciple who loves God cannot help but speak of these things. And I'd like to just turn to 1 Corinthians here on this one. 1 Corinthians 9 is the Apostle Paul is a brother that clearly loved, and in fact, as we see here, couldn't do anything other than preach the word when he had opportunity. 1 Corinthians 9. And maybe we'll come back to start at verse 14. It says, "So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. But I have used none of these things. And I'm not writing these things so that it will be done in my case. For it would be better for me to die than have any man make my boast an empty one." Verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion, for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me." And so he goes on in that passage, but he ends in verse 27, he says, "But I discipline my body, and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." So we see here in the second bullet that the disciple who loves God cannot help himself or herself but to speak of these things, because there is no greater joy within him. And the Apostle Paul said so eloquently, "For I am under compulsion," he says, "and for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And the third reason that we have up there as our significant reasons for preaching is from the perspective of the world, if we are to be outside looking in, the world is completely unaware of what is coming upon it and what the individual's fate will be. And so we have two passages there, Luke chapter 21, and I wanted to just look at, Luke chapter 21, maybe we'll look up the Ephesians one. The Luke 21 passage just talks about the fact that there will be signs of his return, and men will be fainting for fear of the things which are coming upon the earth. So it reminds us that at that time, men will be fearful for these things. But if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, reminds us, it says in verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So we have to remember, brothers and sisters, that each one of us was there at one point in our lives. And so we want others to have this same wonderful and precious hope that we have together. So there's two words that I wanted to distinguish this evening: preaching and teaching. Because there is a difference, and I think we can understand the difference, but as we just consider it this evening, we're focusing on the preaching aspect. The difference between preaching and teaching isn't in terms of the goal, because the goal is always to bring someone to a knowledge of the truth, to help them to come to a decision to be baptized, and then to help them in living a life in Christ. And so the goal is not different, but it's the environment and the expectations that are different. Preaching is more of an indiscriminate kind of thing where we don't sure exactly when we have the opportunity to speak forth the word, to plant the seeds, to drop off a pamphlet, to do things that will advance and to bring people's interest up in wanting to know more about the word of God. That preaching is, and the verse there in Acts, the Apostle Paul's there talking about reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. So it wasn't a specific individuals. They didn't necessarily have a desire to learn, but he was there and they may have stopped by to hear what had to say that day. So that's what we're talking about this evening is our aspect of preaching. Teaching is more to a willing audience, one who says, yeah, can you teach me more about that? And then we can bring them into the home and we can have those weekly classes. And both are very important, but they're also quite different in our means. In the verse there we've got, Paul withdrew from them, took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school. And this took place for 2 years. So that's something where it's more methodical and you probably have a opportunity to go through a specific way of leading someone through the truth. Whereas in preaching, sometimes we're just speaking a couple of sentences in our walk. We're making a couple of comments about a situation. These all lead up to us preaching the word of God. So I've got a couple of slides just explaining what the word preaching means. And the most common usage in the New Testament is the word caruso, which is simply someone who's heralding for the gospel. So the particular passages that use that particular translation or that word caruso are found in Matthew 10. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So those are the definitions of or the usage of the word preaching there. And the other significant word for preaching is euangelizo, which is where we most likely get that word evangelize from. I probably pronounced the word wrong, but it looks a lot like evangelize, and that's really to announce good news, especially the gospel. And so we have a couple of verses there where we see how that's translated. Where it says in Romans 15, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So the words of Ezekiel ring true to me from time to time when it says, "But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house." Just it reminds us, brothers and sisters, that whether or not we're going to have a willing audience, there are times when we would be wise to make known the word of God in situations, even if we know that they're not going to receive it at the time, because we don't know what God will allow to take place in that person's life, what he might do to their heart, and so we want to make sure that we're conscious of these things in our daily lives and wherever we are. So if we just consider for a moment, what is a successful preaching? What does it look like? Well, from the world's perspective, I think the world and many churches, because I've had this comment made of me, well, how many Christadelphians are there? Well, you must, and you say you give out the truth, you know, like it's like we're few in number, and so, oh, no, you can't, you know, you must not have, you know, the truth. Well, that's how the world, I think, judges success, because the Word of God reminds us, and I just wanted to mention, though, by having these passages up doesn't therefore promote the fact that we have small in number, or that we shouldn't do more in our preaching efforts. It's just to be cognizant of the fact that the Word of God is aware, teaches us that this is the case, that there will be few who enter the kingdom of God. And that passage in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And then there's the passage in 1 Peter chapter 2 as well that reminds us that we, brothers and sisters, are chosen, a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness. And we're part of this, brothers and sisters, and we are we've been called out of darkness, and we are to shed forth the marvelous light. And one other passage I wanted us to look up here, and that is found in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 and verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." And so we see here that we too are to be speaking forth and exhorting this message that has been given to us. And we are to be God's spokespeople. So let's just consider then for a moment what godly success might be. We just looked at what worldly success might look like. And I think godly success, as we preach the word of God to this world, is twofold. First of all, it's the development of a heart that desires to freely distribute his word, even in a society consumed with itself. And so that is what we do each week, brothers and sisters, and as we meet together, we want to encourage one another to develop that heart, a heart that desires freely and confidently to distribute that message to this world. And the second part is that we want to be careful about judging our audience, because we cannot prejudge. Our role is simply to spread the seed, and then when we see the growth, it's to nurture the growth. And I think that's all we can do, brothers and sisters, is to continue to consider ourselves a servant of God and spreading the seed and nurturing the growth, because it is God who desires, and those verses support the phrases here that says it's God desires those from the world who have an honest and a good heart. And we can't judge that, brothers and sisters. We can't judge what someone's heart is like at the moment. But God can, and He does. And He's not seeking the wise of this world, but He's seeking the infants, Jesus calls them, those of a willing and seeking mind. So we don't want to prejudge who is our best audience. We want to just continue whenever we can in whatever situation we're in to spread the seed and to nurture its growth. Ecclesiastes says to cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you'll find it after many days. You know, there's a couple of examples here that, and I'm sure every single one of us in this room can think of examples where the seed had been spread without any knowledge of the development of that seed. We have some friends of ours, brothers and sisters in Seattle. And they lived in London in the late 80s. And there was an ecclesia, and they were seeking and searching for a truth, what the truth was. And they had been quite attached with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They had been studying with them, and there were a number of things that they were struggling with, on their teachings. And they so happened to have, seen an ad in the newspaper. They were offering free pamphlets on many subjects. And they took them up on the offer for the pamphlets. And one thing led to another, and they moved to the United States, and they got baptized. And the ecclesia there in London, south of London, has no idea, unless that they let them know, but we can see the idea that they had no idea what their advertisement would lead to. They were just doing what they could. They were offering free pamphlets, and it led to the baptisms of a family in Seattle. Some of you may have heard of the name of Martin Shirley from Jamaica. The story that I understand, anyways, this brother received a leaflet, and he tucked it into his coat pocket, and he forgot about it. And I guess he doesn't wear this jacket very often, because it was about 20 years later, still maybe it came back in fashion again, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out this leaflet. And he found the word. I mean, it led him to an understanding of the word and to be baptized 20 years later. And God knows the timing in this brother's life, what the right timing is, and the circumstances that led up to it. But 20 years earlier, It didn't do anything for him, but 20 years later it did, and understand that he's a truly one of the shining lights in the brotherhood in Jamaica. So those are just a couple of examples, and I'm sure there's many more. And we think of the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says, I planted and Apollos watered, and it's God that causes the growth. And so, brothers and sisters, we have to remember that we leave the results to God. While we strive in our lives to give out His word in an accurate and an upright way, because we know that Scripture tells us that there will be a time, there will come a time, when they will not endure sound doctrine. And sometimes we wonder whether that time is very near, because I think even in our own midst sometimes it's easier for us to not listen to a prickly message, but to listen to a softer, more gentler, kinder message. And the world is much more like that, and that's the influence that we have in the world, likely that causes us to be, to not be receptive to those kinds of things. But we know, as it says in 2 Timothy, that there are those that want to have their ears tickled. So they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And so, if there's ever a desire for us to find some magic bullet or some surefire method or technique of attracting more people or improving our response level, if that's what we're focused on, we have a lot of options, brothers and sisters. We can really consider how we want to do that. But this is where we want to consider. I want us to just consider where we think God would want us to position ourselves as Christ's disciples in our attempts to preach. Because what we have is some examples, some bad examples, of where I know we don't want to be. And these are some, I got these off of Google. And this is actually a postcard. This is a postcard for a church, that's trying to attract, I guess younger couples. The blocked out portion there, is a three-letter word starting with S and ending with X, and it has a vowel in the middle. That's the biggest word on the front to invite you to their church. Just considering some of the topics on the top. It's got a casual atmosphere, but they've got serious faith. Loud music, real people, not sure what we are qualified as, but real people in very big lettering, and they've got fun kids programs. But they also have short services. So, because they have short services, they also are able to offer three services so you can fit them into your busy schedule. There is a phrase on the top right, or they're honoring God, building friendships, and having a blast. So this is the, East Lake Community Church's attempt at, getting new converts, I presume. And the other side of their postcard, again, I bolded out that word on February 11th. That word is natural and that word is good. And so their emphasis is clearly to try and to draw a crowd. But brothers and sisters, this is not the basis with which I think we want to be positioning ourselves. It tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that they are from the world, and therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So, to me, by putting an advertisement like this forward, you're not honoring God in any way by having people come. You're doing it for the wrong pretenses. And essentially you have become too close to the world yourself, and therefore you've lost your perspective. So I think that we do not want to go there. Now this one's a little softer. This one talks about a little bit of humor in it. It says if only life came with a snooze button, but the reality is that time keeps rolling past us, even when we're stalling under the covers, wondering what on earth we're here for. While at Maltby Christian Assembly, we're discovering ways to make the most of our minutes and head into our days. Join us this weekend and make your hours count. And so again, they're focusing on, two gatherings. Great music, relevant message, coffee and connecting, exciting kids church, and a quality nursery. So again, these are some different advertisings. And on the back of this particular card, we missed it, unfortunately, but they've got a Super Bowl party. They got two supersized screens. And the doors open at 2 o'clock, they've got prizes, fun, friends. They're offering all of it so that you can come to their church, meet with some of the members, presumably, and start a friendship. So again, this one was off the, more of an internet ad. And this is, again, more of a common thing, I understand, down in the U.S., kind of a warehouse-style church. But this particular one has a skateboard ramp. I'm concerned I'm going to be losing some of our younger members after this evening. They're going to be taking the messages here. Skateboard ramp. They've got big neon crosses, huge screens. And in a flyer that they'd sent out to houses advertising their weekend, they had a motorbike contest, an antique auto festival, and other fun stuff, including a comedian. They had no mention of God or of Jesus in their advertising. So the reason I put these up, brothers and sisters, really is for us to see an extreme of where some people go in trying to get people to join, to become part of their community. So what we have now, though, I've been able to pull in, I've been spending, when I visit different ecclesias, I try to pull in different materials so we can start to accumulate some things, and some of the things will work for us, some of the things won't work for us. We know that it tells us in James that he brought us forth by the word of truth, and by the word of truth, I think we need to continue to stand and to preach, to focus on the word of God and not focus on some of the glittery and kinds of things. This is a sample of one of the postcards that one of the ecclesias uses. It's got a scripture verse on the front, and then on the back, again, it's got, if you want more information, please, it's got a contact information. I wanted to spend a little bit of time now just thinking about what we're doing in Victoria as an ecclesia. I think most of us are familiar, but this is just a little reminder. We're halfway through an open house. Last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we opened up our doors to the public. And we were offering a Bible exhibition. And we also are displaying our Sunday school rooms, and we've got some material in there so people can see our curriculum. And we also have information about the Learn to Read the Bible Effectively seminar that we're offering. So, again, God willing, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we will be doing the same thing. We also have linked that together with the seminar that will be starting this coming Wednesday. Again, God willing. We also have a website that you might want to become familiar with, because we'd like to get some input and feedback. I put the website address up for you. It's victoriabiblestudy.com. You may have heard Brother William speak about it a couple of weeks back on when he was doing his DBR. So please, I would encourage you to take a look and to see what kinds of things you think we should be putting on our website so that we can have that interaction. The other thing that we have in our list of activities is to prepare a welcome brochure for visitors and friends. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar. If you're a doorkeeper, you're probably familiar. We have a little card right now that we give to people who come in, and it just explains that, you know, you welcome to our meeting. This is what we do. This is our order of meeting. We will be singing a hymn. We'll have an exhortation, and then we'll be having bread and wine, and you won't be able to share in that. And it's very sort of straightforward. Well, we're trying to design a welcome brochure, and I know you can't read that, but the idea is, on this, and that the particular church is going to be replaced by something more relevant to us, but I was just trying to jazz it up for the time being. The campaign committee, hope now that we're past some of our busyness on organizing the open house and the exhibition and so on, we want to try and get this little threefold leaflet together that we can hand out to visitors and to friends, which is basically, it's most of the same things, but it's got a few more words around it, the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is once we get this into a certain shape, we're going to take it through the arranging brethren. But in this particular flyer, we say we're always pleased to meet with those interested in pursuing a God-centered life. Jesus Christ asked of those who would follow after his example to meet together regularly in remembrance of him through the sharing together of the bread and wine. And we go on and we explain our order of meeting. And then at the very end, we have a little section that says, talks about what resources we have available. And one of the sentences says, our best resource is most likely the person sitting right beside you. And so, brothers and sisters, when we start to hand these things out, and when we have visitors come into the building, we want to make sure that every single one of us is aware of the fact that it's our responsibility to make that person that sits beside us feel welcome. So we want every one of us to be conscious of the fact, and not just to say, oh, Good. Somebody's talking to that person. We have opportunities to be a friendly face and to smile and to welcome them too. We want to be cognizant of the fact that each one of us has a role that we can play. So that's the only reason I put that welcome brochure up, so that you're aware of what might be coming when we can get some time to do that. Now, there's some future direction that I wanted to seek some input, and maybe again you can consider this this evening. I've put the email address for the campaign committee. It will email all the members of the campaign committee if you write that email address down. But there's some things that we want to seek in terms of direction from you. The brothers and sisters, we want to know, for example, do we want to organize more regular pamphlet distributions? We organized one 2 weeks ago, and we had more people from outside of Victoria coming with us to distribute those than we had from people who were inside Victoria. But we also had one family or one person sign up for the seminar through that exercise. That hour and a half that about 20 people devoted in their afternoon, we had someone phone the very next day. That's how we know that they got it through our going door to door, because we hadn't mailed them out yet to the rest of the homes. So we see that there is value in doing this. We have some pamphlets that I'll be again showing in a minute. Things that we can hand out, but I'd like to know, is that something that the Ecclesia will support? So again, let's have some discussion about that. Send us an email about what kinds of things you'd like to see there. The other aspect that I'm wondering about as a campaign committee is whether we should seek out those brothers and sisters who have become out of fellowship, or those in Sunday school who became adults that we've lost touch with. This is, again, some outreach that we can do, and we need support. We need brothers and sisters to contribute. Is this an area that is lacking for us and that we want to focus on? The other thing that the campaign committee's thinking about are really about generating some tools for each of us to feel more comfortable in sharing the Word of God. And so one of the ideas I have is some business cards, and next slide will show an example of what some ecclesias use by way of business cards. Maybe business cards is the wrong word again, but and so other ideas. These are some of the things. This is an evening where we all have opportunities to consider how we can better preach the Word of God. So this is a sample of some cards that some ecclesias use. It's very simple. It's got some Bible passages on it, and it says for Bible answers to Bible questions. The idea would be that the ecclesial members would have their own name and contact number. And if you're in a discussion with someone, and you know, if you don't get to finish that discussion, say, hey, here's a card. If you want to have more discussion about that, you know, here's my number. Please give me a call. And they have something that they can take away. Just an idea. Again, I'd like to know if anyone wants something like that, and we can. These things have a budget, and we need to start to accumulate and estimate costs. So, but if this is going to be helpful to you as brothers and sisters, I'd like us to consider it. So, just really briefly here, as we wind ourselves down, this is another postcard that an ecclesia uses. Why is it better to go to a funeral than a party? And on the other side, it's got a list of all the pamphlets that they have that they can distribute, and you can tick off whichever ones you like. And you can send it in. So again, those would be something that we could send door to door. Another pamphlet. Again, depending on the topic, this one talks about the kingdom being on earth, with some verses on the inside. So these are kinds of things that I've got the templates for that we can make if we're happy with the individual product. We can produce these fairly easily, and we can start to incorporate these into our daily. Our lives and in handing them out to people, our neighbors, and also if we organize efforts to go door to door. So, as we've covered quite a bit of material, brothers and sisters, but the goal, I think, of the campaign committee is really to enable us as brothers and sisters, as an ecclesia, to freely, to accurately, and to continually distribute the truth of God's word within our sphere of influence. Right? So we all have spheres of influence. I think we all know what that phrase means. We either are in a workforce or we are interacting with people. We want to be able, everyone to have, to feel comfortable in spreading, the word of God. Because we want to give the opportunity for all those honest and good hearts in the world to receive truth and to receive life. Remembering that we can do what we can and we leave the results to God. It tells us that the one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. So with this goal in mind, we always want to remember that when people reject our message, brothers and sisters, when they reject our willingness to share the gospel with them, that they're not truly rejecting us in God's eyes. They're rejecting Him. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus, and they're rejecting our Heavenly Father. But as we think of the rejections, we read in the Word, and we consider the rejections that those prophets in the Old Testament received. You know, those prophets who are always appeared negative to the people, because they were always prophesying such negative things. But we also know that they persevered, because they needed to give the message that God wanted given. And they didn't soften it. They didn't fluff it up to make it more attractive. They gave it exactly as they heard it and as they believed it. And so we too must do the same. For as it says, he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And lastly, to borrow a phrase from an author of a book, beginning with the end in mind, if we consider in our own lives how often we pray, thy kingdom come. But when we pray, thy kingdom come, and we consider when the kingdom does come, what will you and I, what will the saints be doing in that kingdom? For we know that it will be a kingdom of priests, brothers and sisters, kings and priests. And so we want to look at our lives and to ask ourselves what fruit we have produced now, to show that we desire this role in God's kingdom. For Jesus says to them, go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation.